Kat and John as they review RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under on UCR's What a Drag.
Get on over to Uncensored Radio.
I did, and Jeff, honey, them shoulders do not match them hips.
Oh my gosh, John Collins, how are you? I haven't seen you in forever, bud. Haven't seen you since the court case. How you been?
Oh, yeah, no, I've been all right. Yeah, doing okay, doing all right, yeah. Feeling my oats.
Just doing it? Yeah, just doing it, you know. So we're going to do, like, reviews of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under, hopefully, like, on the end of each episode. That's the plan.
We're ideal candidates to be reviewing Drag Race Down Under, because in all of Down Under, we're probably the biggest bitches.
True. I was a dead bitch, okay? So this took a little while, and I just realized, like, I was ready to read all these bitches' filth, and I was like, actually, this is really hard and horrible. So I've got more, a little bit more sympathy again, so I'm softer in my approach to my critiques of this episode.
Well, I really tried to go in with that kind of mindset, but I'm not as I used to be a lot bitchier than I am now. I think I've matured a lot, but really,
yeah, you were evil.
I couldn't do it watching the episode. It was just, I just, the daggers came out.
They did? Oh, good. But look, are we going to see Diane Slowly, who I've performed with on stage many a time? Are we going to see her during these drag reviews?
Well, look, if I'm going to go to all the effort of getting into drag to review this show, then it kind of needs to be worth it. And I've seen every Drag Race episode, as a lot of people have. And I'm sorry, that was the worst episode, easily worst first episode of a season. And probably one of the, like, worst five episodes of all time.
Change your costume, girl. Mimi.
In my opinion.
It really?
It was boring.
Okay.
Those bitches need to get bitchy soon, because that was so un-American. It was boring. And yet we're down under, but I mean, be drag queens. Where were the,
yeah,
like,
but did you not think they were being, the, when Elektra walked in, I felt they were being really bitchy. Like, I felt, but not in a funny way. Like, in, like, these girls are, like, me. That's what I felt.
No,
like,
I
it wasn't
like they were
really.
I didn't get it. Like, I just thought it was like, I know the part you're referring to. I just thought it was kind of like really sad and pathetic. I'm like, come on, girls, like, get your big knife out, cut deep,
change it around.
God. Okay, so yeah,
maybe,
let's
maybe
just
I'm
look
too much of a bitch. I don't know.
No, not at all. Okay, so we've got, what is it? It's 10 contestants, right? That are,
yeah, I don't know their names yet. Don't know.
That's
all
right, I'll pop them up. All
I kept having
so
to rewind
Anita
Wiglet, to the start of the
how'd you feel about her? How'd you feel about this one?
Anita Wiglet. Let's talk about Anita Wiglet. Who's Anita Wiglet, and who's the other one? Hang on, I took notes. Anita Wiglet and Ketamine. They're the co-owners of a club in New Zealand. Yeah,
there's
the two that own the club, the co-owners.
Yes.
Now, that just kind of, like, sparked a bit of, like, curiosity with me. Like, the two co-owners of the gay club in New Zealand both end up on season one of Drag Race Down Under, which coincidentally got turfed over to be filmed in New Zealand. Nepotism.
Because of COVID.
Co-production rights. I don't know. It is, like, leaning in a franchise direction, Drag Race now. So I just thought that was weird that the two co-owners of the gay club in New Zealand happened to be in season one. Like,
Look, it is weird. How extensive is their drag scene? Like, I don't know.
It was the Anzacs all over again.
Change your costume, Mimi.
Maybe we should edit that bit out.
That it stayed in, bitch. How'd you feel about Coco Jumbo? So is this bitch named after the song? It's named after the song, right? I mean, she is named after the song.
I don't know, but I remember I used to live not far from Coco Jumbo. We lived in, like, the same complex of, like apartments.
Did she always used to play the song? Coco Jumbo.
No, and we'll have to edit that out, because I think we'll have to pay a lot of money to have that song.
Oh, I couldn't sing it in tune. It's fine. It's fine.
I don't think you've ever sung it in tune. I mean,
no, I haven't, Bubs. No.
Where's the key? Where's the key, Kat? Yeah, you know, I used to live in that apartment complex with Smoker Jumbo, and she had this little twink living with her. I think it was her cousin or brother, I don't know, but she had this little twink, gay twink living with her as well. And whenever Smoker Jumbo was like getting it on, getting busy in the bedroom, the little twink would come and like knock on my door and be like, Kangas, you know, got a friend over, so and he'd come and visit me and eat my food and lie around in his little short shorts and singlet, and sometimes take singlet off because I didn't have the best air conditioning because we broke the air conditioner. I think you were there for that.
Possibly.
When someone hit it with a Sam Booker bottle. No, there was a Sam Booker bottle up on the shelf and it fell down on top of it.
No, I wasn't there for that one because I wouldn't stand for that. If someone was wasting alcohol, you don't do that shit in my presence, no.
Yeah, well.
So Coco's love to get the trade, hey? That's the tea.
Back in the day then, yeah. But, yeah, and that twink would be lying around on my couch in his little skimpy clothes. And if things got boring enough, he'd be like, hey, yeah, you want to go? And
oh my gosh, we're stopping there because we're getting derailed. Okay,
change your costume, girl. Mimi.
So speaking of derailment,
like it was really dud root. But anyway, electroshock. Yeah, look, about her look, the sequin hearts and the rainbow feathers, and then she got like Swarovski crystal accessories everywhere. Knock off Swarovski crystal accessories everywhere. I thought that was hodgepodge as fuck. That was like less than pedestrian. It looked ridiculous. It looked like you know when they do those mini drag challenges and they you get the ones that just panic and they grab everything and throw it on. That's what her runway looked like. Like,
do you feel like
rainbow feathers with sequin
hearts? Do you feel their critiques of her looks when she walked in was fair then? So that's why you didn't feel they were mean. Like, they were saying a wig.
I didn't feel like anyone's looks were there in this episode. To be honest, I didn't feel like any of the looks were served. I didn't feel like anything was there. To be honest, the content of that episode I thought was really, like, not up to standard of the Drag Race name.
Oh, wow. Well, what about art? Okay, so Art Simone. So, come on, her look was polished. Come on. She was polished. She was all right.
Look, okay, now this is gonna get me in a lot of trouble saying this, but I've always thought Art Simone she's a produced queen. Everything about her, it's a production. It's all produced. And, you know, of course, there's hundreds of people talking about how amazing it is because there's hundreds of people getting free tickets to the show if they go around talking about how amazing it is. You know, it feels like everything about Art Simone and her career feels like such a production and such a script and everything's, yeah, she's talented.
Well, isn't she perfect
for
the show then? Wouldn't that not make her the perfect candidate for RuPaul's Drag Race?
Well, you'd think so, but, I mean, what drag queen hasn't done half boy dram look, half drag look, really? And Michelle's there going, oh, that was iconic, that was inspired. No, it wasn't. I've seen that 100 times before.
We've seen it down the local pub, haven't we, Bubs?
Yeah.
Okay,
I've done it
so
down the local pub.
So what about little et cetera's?
Et cetera. I mean, which one is et cetera? Let me check my notes here because not that
I was going to say, I forgot et cetera too. I'm not being shy. I really are. I've just forgotten.
I can't make sense of my own notes. It's just like crazy shit. Yeah, no, I can't read what I wrote about her. So
okay, so
et cetera, et
cetera.
Forgettable.
Et cetera.
Forgettable.
So,
yeah. Forgettable.
Hey, little JoJo Zaho, how do we feel about our...
Oh, JoJo. Now, look, I'm team JoJo all the way. I couldn't even say that.
Look, I like JoJo.
Suit
I find her.
Was,
she's a
like,
lovely person. You can tell she's
suit.
Kind and, yeah. Yeah, girl, no.
Look,
it
that
was...
nude bodysuit that JoJo was wearing, that was the ugliest bodysuit I've seen on Drag Race. Like, the ugliest bodysuit in the history of Drag Race. I'm glad she got red to fill for it. And there was another note I wrote as well. She was wearing a swimsuit as well. Did you notice that? She was wearing a swimsuit with stuff glued onto it and a little truly bustly capey bit.
So what you're saying is you don't feel the look she served was up
to scratch. I know JoJo. I perform with JoJo. I delude myself through an ego kind of thing to believe that I launched her career. I made her, yeah. Because I met her once. She can do a lot better. She really can do a lot better.
Well, maybe, do you think, when they get thrown in this environment, they get intimidated by it all, though. Like, it's a lot. Like, you could tell, like, JoJo was definitely scared. You could sort of see she was. And it's not a thing. I mean, it just makes it mean. But do you think that's what made her very
stressed lately? Because knowing JoJo as I do, she stress eats. And so you can tell she'd been under a lot of stress because she has put on
stress eats
a bit weight since last time I saw her, which was obviously before Drag Race.
You're bitch.
That was a really bitchy thing to say, but I'm okay.
It was terrible. Okay, moving on to Karen from Fine.
Oh, look, this is my pick to win. And it's hard because what we saw of Karen in episode one was nothing compared to the talent and amazingness that is Karen from Finance. We're gonna be wowed by her. It's just unfortunate that we haven't been wowed by her yet. That was, and I'll keep saying it, that was a really lackluster episode. We didn't get to see anything of these queens. But Karen will be one to watch. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what she does.
Well, also, that, like, I don't think the challenge, or, like, to do a little bit of acting in the mid-challenge, and then they got to do, you know, two outfits in the maxi-challenge. It felt a very rushed episode. Did you feel that? Like, you know, like, if there was only 10 contestants, like, it just felt very, like, here they are.
Yeah, and that's if you've only got 10 contestants, the episodes can't feel rushed because it's going to be a quicker season than most. So it's... I don't know. Maybe because they're, you know, filming in New Zealand, maybe they've got, like, local crew that don't have, you know, people. Maybe the people working on set there don't know, you know, aren't as experienced with the Drag Race format, so it's got that rushed feel coming to it. But it can't feel rushed because it is going to be rushed.
Now, I want to bring
up... And I'm pretty sure
this.
Raven did not come. No, I've said...
No, Raven obviously didn't make it for that first... Let's take down Maxi. I don't think Raven obviously is there for that first episode. Well, she wasn't even in drag on the panel, so they obviously filmed that stuff. She'd come out and done the runway later, after the fact. Mm-hmm. So I think Raven obviously didn't make the quarantine with Michelle or Rue at the same time. I think Raven probably came a bit later.
Raven probably couldn't be bothered.
No, because Rue's in drag in the next episode. When they showed the stuff, like, on the judging panel, she's back in drag. So I think Raven's obviously the one who does her face. I don't think she lets anyone else do her face anymore. So I don't know. But it was just a bit weird. Like, the way they shot it, like, it was very obvious to me. Okay, Raven's not there. And all the stuff that Rue's doing in drag has been shot after the fact. And he judged that panel out of drag.
Yeah.
Okay. So Maxi Shields, can we just talk about the breastplate, girl? The breastplate and the skin tones. Can we just go into that quickly?
Look, I can't even with Maxi Shield. I'm sorry. I really tried, but one of my drag daughters, Chantel Secrets, Ryan lived with her for a time, and I just there are things that you can't forget. Smells you can't forget. I can't look at her on this TV show and not have flashbacks to seeing how she lived back in.
Are they like really dramatic? Are they dramatic flashbacks, like in black and white? Like,
yeah, they are.
Are we talking quarters episode, or what are we talking here? Serial killer, like
with like there was like a dog that just like pissed and shit everywhere. It was like, and because drag queens, we work a lot, like long hours, like fucked hours, and when we're not working, we're sewing or you know, mixing music or doing drugs, so there's not a lot of time to do things like adulting, you know, cleaning your house. So it's understandable, but it was just disgusting. And I saw her, especially seeing her out of drag, and I just like had these flashbacks to seeing. Anyway, but you know, she does have some talent, so
all my note was like breastplate. It was very contrasted to the rest of her. It still looked okay. Like, she didn't look terrible. I think she's, for a big queen, she's padded well, she's shaped well. Her face is flawless. Like, I'm not going to judge anyone's face when I've just managed to do this after years and years and I don't even do it properly anymore. So, look, I ain't going to cover her, but I just thought, girl, come on. Like, breastplate is, like, three, four shades darker.
It doesn't change the fact that some people are just vile creatures that you don't want to be around.
Okay.
So this is why you wanted me. You wanted the truth. You wanted the real bitch facts. This is why I'm here.
Garlic Adams.
Forgettable.
Really? No, I thought she was cute. Actually, she was pretty. No.
When she's out of drag, I swear to God, I've met.
He's cute out of drag too. Yeah.
He was a dancer.
He was a little bit. Did you see him on morning shows that they were doing, like Sunrise and stuff, just not long ago, like today?
I think it was with Stage Addiction it was so long ago. It would have been like before I was even 20, 21. I would have been a teenager. But I swear to God, he was in something I was in, and I can't remember if I did make out with him or if I just really wanted to make out with him so much that I fantasized and imagined making out with him so much that now I'm remembering imagining making out
Is that good? Like, it's like, after you witness a crime and then you start, like, imagining stuff and adding to it. That's why they got to get those testimonies straight away.
Yeah, or when, like, because
people
like,
imagine.
So, like,
and that's what that I feel really is happening here with you and Scarlett because, yeah. Listen, John Collins. So the mini challenge was them on a green screen doing some lispy sci-fi thing. How'd you feel about the mini challenge and how'd you feel about the winner being Elektra?
Look, I didn't really think any of them were standout performances, and I really thought that mini challenge was kind of crap. They were just reading like teleprompter kind of thing. Yeah, they kind of tried to make it unique. Look, I would have been happier if they gave us, an iconic first episode mini challenge from one of the previous seasons. If they just copied over and said, all right, the mini challenge is something that you would have seen how it goes, you've seen it before. Just give us our own version of a previously done mini challenge. I thought that would be cool, but I could see they're trying to be, unique, trying to put something new and fresh, but it was just like, give us something that works, give us a good episode before you try something unique, which flops.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't feel the oats of that mini challenge. Sorry.
Look, I didn't mind the mini challenge. I thought, it gave them that little acting challenge straight up rather than a photo shoot, because they normally do a photo shoot for that first ever mini challenge. So I thought it was cute.
I loved the photo shoot. We should have had a photo shoot.
Two-tone breastplate. So the maxi challenge then was obviously the two looks they had to serve. They had to serve the nude look, and then they had to serve their, something that reminded them of home, like an outfit that would tell people where they're from. So the winner of the challenge was Karen from Finance. Yes, and she really sold it because she was like the piss girl at the races, middle-aged, just off her face, makeup smudged, stumbling around, toilet paper on the high heel. I think she sold that look so well. She was pretty amazing. I really loved it. And I thought that was one of the better presentations I've seen in a lot of drag race shows. And that's why I think in this context, she very much was the easy winner.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Then the thing about Karen from Finance is now obviously she's she's Karen from Finance, but when she was beginning, I don't know if she still does, but she had all these other characters. She had like Tiffany from Reception, Rachel from Tech Support, Tony from Legal, all these different characters, and she used to dress up as all these different ones, and they all had different personas, different voices, different styles.
Karen's the one that resonated with the audience the most, and that's what she's sort of ran with now.
Well, I think Karen was the one that resonated most with her. Like Karen's the because you do have I think it's gonna be really interesting if she pulls out any of those other characters, especially maybe in a mini challenge if they do quick drag. She maybe throw on like a turban and do like lesbian Linda from Legal Aid or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. How do you feel about the bottom two? So it was obviously JoJo's a hoe, and it was Elektra Shock. So they were the two bottoms. Do you agree with the judges' choices in that regard? Because also the other bottom was
I could have seen anyone in the bottom except Karen. Okay, to be honest. Because Karen won the maxi challenge, so obviously she would be.
The latex naked suit was amazing. Like that full body latex suit was the naked body was amazing on Art Simone.
Yeah, but no. So maybe I'm just prejudiced about Art Simone because it just feels so fake. But I mean, look, my favorite was probably like Anita dressed up as the sheep because she's a New Zealand queen. It had to happen. It happened first episode. That I think that.
But that she sold that look though. Like it was a very basic look, but she sold it. I bought it. Like I was like, yeah, girl, I'm feeling it.
It was exactly the challenge. Something about, you know, you show us is that she came out as a sheep. Brilliant. Genius. Cut, print, Tony. Moving on.
The lip sync for their life.
It's hard to see these girls as like their individual unique creation. And then looking at the others, it just doesn't feel very unique. They all feel very like carbon copy, like, you know, oh, I will have this.
Well, this is the cultural cringe show that I think us Aussies have about a lot of our stuff that we produce. And I think, you know, this is an American show. Well, it's an American original that's now being branded with our kind of brand, Australian contestants. And I think we sort of go like, oh, because we've got also the American production values are a lot higher. Like their show's far more produced than what we're seeing now. And I think we're sort of, that's probably what makes the girls look a little bit sloppier. Same with the UK season. And it's not they're rougher or anything. It's just that production values aren't as good. So then looking as polished as they would under better stuff.
I am.
It could also be that you think Art Simone's a bitch.
I am worried that some of the girls may be deliberately emulating some of those successful queens from the American season.
Well, who the hell do you think Maxie Shields is emulating with that two-tone, that dark breastplate?
Change your costume, girl. Mimi.
Or any of the losers. Just pick any of the losing queens.
Pork chops.
I know, she could be... I could almost go for like a Coco Montrese's twin with the color clash.
Change it around.
Oh, fuck. So, yeah, so the bottom two were Electra. I wasn't shocked that Electra was in the bottom. I mean, I know she did. She won the mini challenge.
Was it Electra? Was it Electra?
No, it was Electra and Electra Shock, and it was JoJo Zaho. So JoJo Zaho, I think we should talk about her runway too, because she was in From Home look, was the, you know, the indigenous colours. She had the political statement as well that she held up. I think her statement was solid. I agreed completely.
And we were all rooting for her. We were rooting for you.
She came out in the
ugliest nude bodysuit in the history of Drag Race. And then that swimsuit with things stuck to it, and I'm like, girl, you know better.
I think
than that.
It I and like her hairnet hanging out from the back and shit like that, like it was sloppy, and I could sort of see Michelle didn't want to read it, but she has to, that's her job. Like she had to just give her the critiques, and with just too many critiques that it was a failed girl.
That message hastily scribbled on that big sheet. It's like she knew she was serving a, you know, a dud look, and she's like, oh, how can I, you know, raise the bar? And so she tacked on a message. It felt duplicitous. Look, speaking of that lip sync, I really loved the beginning of it when they were like stepping in front of each other. Yeah, but after that little joke kind of ended, it got really boring.
Yeah, look, she didn't do the performance bad. I just thought, yeah, Electra did the Drag Race that you would expect, you know, full splits, multiple splits, just like doing that kind of drag. I didn't think JoJo was bad. I think, yeah, she sort of got outshone in that. In lip sync, and I think the song really worked a bit better for Electra. She was able to give it a bit of that shtick. I saw JoJo trying to as well. It just wasn't landing. It was
It was still boring as batshit, and ultimately a lackluster episode.
So, Jonathan, thank you so much for joining me. Will I be seeing Di Slowly at the end of the next review?
Maybe, possibly. Look, if they give me an episode I enjoy. Yeah, and if they work part of it to give me an episode that I enjoy then.
Okay, so this all depends on how engaged you are with the next episode, if you're going to throw a lip on. Gosh, look at all the trouble I went to, girl. Like, who would have thought 50 years later? She's back. I know, just did Lizzie.
Well, I'll catch you for episode 2, Cat Astrophy. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for on the show. It was a good little chat and a little powwow. And thanks for the insights into some of the queens. And
yeah, I'm looking forward to trying to outbitch myself next week.
I think
don't forget, you can add me on Facebook. It's at the John Collins Story or at Diane Slowly. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah, because I'm probably saying it wrong. And you can also catch me on Spotify, my hit single, You Should Know, by John Collins. Check it out.
You stay safe, and we'll catch up next week and talk about what we love to talk about, which is men dressing up like girls. Yay!
Yeah. Cheers, bitch. And throw that wig out. It looks like trash.
Thanks, Barbs. It's actually my real hair brushed into it, but you can fuck yourself.
Change your costume, Mimi.